League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Beasley switches it in. The U.S. go up. What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra.
Moy will try a long hit. What a goal from Moy. This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is. Switzerland and Shaqiri have scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome in everybody to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Thanks for the shout out to all the guys on the wheelhouse. Following them up tonight, as always. So I'm kind of like the act that comes after the main act. But this is Soccer Matters, and it's always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Tonight, well, we're going to do this show with a heavy heart, as today we learned that one of the greatest drummers in the history of rock and roll, Charlie Watts of the Rolling Stones, has passed away. Like many of you, you know, you grow up, you have your bands that are your indelible bands that you just get drawn to as a kid. Sometimes you have no idea why. It might be a brother and sister playing it. Anyway, these are indelible moments in life that have brought you a lot of enjoyment. And for me, it was always the Rolling Stones. So Watts is drumming, being an original member of the band who's played on every single cut. His drumming so prolific. Sympathy for the Devil, Get Off My Cloud, Miss You, Satisfaction. I mean, we can go on and on. Jumpin' Jack Flash. We're going to play a lot of this music during the break here tonight, from the early stuff to the later stuff. But he was a fantastic drummer. He was just a very, very effortless drummer, kind of like an effortless midfielder. Just was consistent, and not that I know anything about drumming, but I had an opportunity to watch him up close on the last tour in the pit. Now, this is an older man playing drums, you know, and that's, first off, you're kind of going, okay, how do these guys do it at their age? But it was amazing to watch the guy and his timing. And you know, Richards would come back with his guitar and face him. There was something going on between the two of them then. It was just incredible stuff. So tonight, an RIP to Charlie Watts, one of the greatest rock drummers in history. No question about it. Our guest tonight on the show, Nichelle Prince, is a gold medal winner with Canada. She plays for the Houston Dash. This weekend, the Dash will be in NWSL action. They will be taking on Racing Louisville, and I will have tickets for that game to give out tonight, so be ready. Fafa Pico of the Houston Dynamo and Griffin Dorsey have another huge game. We can't sugarcoat this. The Dynamo have not won since May 22nd. They need wins. They had a game in their hands that they kind of handed back to FC Dallas this past weekend. Fafa Pico and Griffin Dorsey, I'm gonna be very serious about talking to them about the situation, the pressure, where they're at. You know, we always hear, oh, locker room's great. It can't be great. I'm sorry. It can be good, but it can't be great in situations like this. And hopefully it isn't great. I have a lot of comments on maybe the Dynamo. I do know a lot of people were talking about why more substitutions weren't made. You heard Todd Ramos's response to that. And, you know, there's a lot of different thoughts here that, you know, we on the outside don't know what's going on in training. We on the outside do not know a lot of things. So a lot of the times we are being fairly judgmental. I don't think there's any question. Warren Barton will join me tonight. We're going to talk a lot of Premier League with him. We're going to talk about some of the new edicts coming down in the English Premier League when it comes to refereeing. And, you know, each and every year there's something big that comes out. Now they want the game to flow a little bit more. Of course, you know, the Premier League has had real struggles with the way they implemented VAR. MLS destroyed them in that category. Euros were great. So we'll talk to Warren tonight about a bunch of that. We'll talk about select Premier League teams and where they're at. And, of course, We will talk about now what is something that is obviously being done because of the pandemic, but there is a lot of sort of countries that are going to be banned from allowing, the Premier League's not going to allow their players to go play for some of these countries in South America during World Cup qualifying, places like Turkey, Egypt. These places are going to be off limits. Already, Mo Salah is not going to be going to play for Egypt in World Cup qualifying. So this could alter the landscape dramatically. Then again, it's soccer, and it's not the pandemic, and it's not life and death. So we'll talk a little bit about that here tonight. All right, 713-780-3776 tonight. I'll take calls on Charlie Watts drumming. I'll take calls on that. I mean, we just lost, Dusty Hill from ZZ Top. I mean, you're seeing a lot of the legends of rock really passing away, and it's kind of sad. 713-780-3776. We're streaming at ESPN975.com. The show's presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual, John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. So the Daspit Law presenting soccer for you, both here and in Austin, Texas. So off and running tonight here. All right, we got tickets to the Dynamo Minnesota game as well. And I will just start you off with a little bit here on U.S. Women's National Team player Kristen Press. And, of course, we have Nichelle Prince on tonight. She's a gold medal winner. Kristen Press was the first player to sign with Angel City FC in the NWSL. Now, they begin play next season. It was a big dream for many to bring a women's NWSL team to L.A. Now, sources are saying that Kristen Press is going to get $700,000 over the course, I think, of 3 years, which is going to make her one of the highest paid players in the league. She's going to be 33 next year. She played at Manchester City in the Women's Super League, 155 caps for the U.S., 64 goals. The Angel City sporting director, whose name is Eniola Aluko, she said she wants to build an exciting, unpredictable, difficult-to-beat team. That's pretty general. Yes, I guess everybody would want all of those things, but let's give her a little bit of a break here, but she's building up the team that she wants built. And of course she said, this is the type of player they need that has local roots. And I like that, from Aluko. Kristen Press, if you remember, won the Hermann Trophy at Stanford. I did many a game with Julie Foudy, who was a Stanford player and was always talking about Kristen Press, even in the early years. But she won the Hermann Trophy there, and it's a blank canvas for Angel City FC, and that will probably spur some talk of NWSL to Austin. So we'll see. We got the MLS All-Star Game tomorrow night. Now, what do you think about this? We have all the Campeones Cup. We have all these other sort of games and events that we're weaving in Mexico against the U.S. We're driving off that beautiful rivalry that has been built in international soccer to now get all this cross promotion. And you and I know it's inevitable that these two leagues are going to merge. When? I have no idea. But all of this is moving us towards a merger of the leagues. I don't know how that's going to work. I would hope there is some level of promotion and relegation in it. Look, if we were the Houston Dynamo right now with the season that we're having with the lack of attendance, if Tigres was coming in to play the Dynamo, I would think potentially the stadium would be taken over in Houston. So you think about that a little bit, and that crossover, which obviously goes into all the Mexican fans that support the Mexican national team when they're here, and all the friendlies and competitive games that bring Liga MX teams into the U.S. So there's a lot going on. On the other hand, do we want to see that? 713-780-3776. Do you want to see a merger between the two leagues? Or would you prefer they remain somewhat independent outside of these tournaments and things so that when they do meet, it's not quite as often, and maybe it can be built up into something special. Does it do anything competitively to you? Look, we all know the end game here, and that's making a lot of money. And whoever's running the two leagues, whether it's Don Garber, whoever's running Liga MX, it doesn't matter. It's for them and their legacy and to take the sport forward, it's about satisfying sponsors, clubs, making money. We know that. And then the secondary part of it is trying to remain in the zone of making it competitive and making sure we don't lose sight of the competitive side of things and that we don't overexpose the product. Although it just seems like more is better now. 713-780-3776. All right, my ace producer, Andrew Carlson, an Arsenal fan. They're 0-2 now. I didn't have to mention that, but I did. What are your thoughts on Major League Soccer and Liga MX getting together and maybe combining into one kind of a super league in this region of the world?
For me, I don't really understand it because we have what's supposed to be, you know, our version of the Champions League. We've got the CONCACAF Champions League. And is that not a competition where we're trying to find the best in our region, where the best in Mexico should, in theory, be going up against the best that our country has to offer? Why are we going to devalue that competition at all by starting up some new Super League? I don't want to compare it at all to the European Super League because nothing that we're going to do over here can even pale in comparison to what the European Super League might have been and might have meant. But for me, it devalues these competitions that we've currently got even further, and I see no reason to do that.
Yeah, that's a very good point. It would devalue the CONCACAF Champions League to a degree because in this region of the world, it's the U.S. and Mexico are considered the best, although I think we do have a very keep an eye on Canada. I think it's a rising country. But I think part of the thing you have to consider here, too, also is the fact that if Mexico and the U.S. combine, it may become a higher quality league than anything that's in South America. I mean, let's face it. There's Argentines in the Mexican League. The Argentine player is the most imported player in all of Major League Soccer, no question. With all the ties down there, the economics, the ability to get players now, the Dynamo have gone through a number of Argentine players. So who knows? Maybe North America and Mexico, Mexico, U.S., Canada, becomes the strongest, grabs the threshold and the mantle of the strongest leagues if they haven't already in this portion of the world. You may say I'm wrong. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. We're giving tickets away tonight, too. Don't forget that. So the MLS and Liga MX All-Stars, it'll all go down tomorrow night in L.A. One might think, as we mentioned, this is the continuation of a merged MLS and Liga MX. I'm really interested to see what people say. Do you want the leagues to combine? Would you like that? Would you like to see Club America come into Houston or Santos on a regular basis competitively in a league, which is different than tournament play? Would you like that? 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. 713-780-3776. I think there's going to be some people who will not want it. They want to stay traditional. But I think the potential financial windfall, this is going to happen. It's just a matter of time, I think. Hate to say that. MLS Liga MX All-Star Game tomorrow night. Let's hope this is a bit of a show. Let's hope it's entertainment. Or let's hope it's entertainment. Plus, we see a little bit of a competitive edge come out in these two teams. You know, I do remember a time, because I am a little bit older, when the All-Star Game in Major League Baseball was a hotly contested game. You know, you remember Pete Rose nailing Ray Fosse, and it was different. It wasn't a party weekend. American League wanted to best the National League and vice versa. So we're going to go to break here with a song called Sad Day by the Rolling Stones, because it is a sad day. I'm missing Charlie Watts. If you're a drummer out there and you want to call in tonight, you got something to say, next segment Victor Arise is going to join us, but we will take all of your calls here. Quick word here for FM Kitchen and Bar. FM Kitchen and Bar, there are two locations, one in the Montrose area, right near Montrose and Westheimer. Very different vibe there. Then there is the one in my area, kind of my area, that is north of Washington on Shepherd. got a great outdoor area. I've talked about this a lot. They make great craft cocktails. They do a great gin and tonic. All the, you know, they use the better tonic waters, the whole thing. And then you get, along with the great craft cocktail and a great beer selection, you also get fresh, fresh, great food. And it's a wonderful spot. A lot of monitors there for watching soccer. We'll take a break. More to come. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
I think what's important is that we have to worry about us. We have to, you know, we have to continue in the right path in terms of creating chances. I think eventually the chances will start going in. And, you know, obviously Minnesota's a great team that's coming here next. But I think we have to think more about us. I think, you know, there's no reason why we couldn't win these games. There really isn't. Just like today. Today should have been a win.
Well, that was Tab Ramos, and this was Charlie Watts performing with the Rolling Stones live. Charlie Watts performed in Bloomsbury, London, England. Passed away at 80 years of age. Obviously, on every single album and song of the Rolling Stones, along with Keith Richards and Mick Jagger. So today we're honoring Charlie Watts with a lot of this music. You heard Tab Ramos there, and can't stop believing. I mean, I'm not sure what else you can do as a coach at this point. You're trying pretty much everything. I know there was some concern around the substitution patterns and things, but we'll talk a little bit about that with our next guest. Next guest is brought to you by the legendary Cactus Music, which is on Shepherd. Go down there. I'm sure there's Rolling Stones records going off the shelves right now. And also by out on I-10 in the Marquee Entertainment Center, Hugh O'Connor's Pub, the home of the Liverpool Supporters Group. All right, Victor Ariza of The Striker joins us now. Victor, how are you?
Great, Glenn. Always great to be on the show.
Yep. All right, so you heard the Tab Ramos soundbite there. Just your reaction to it.
Yeah, I mean, he's been trying to stay positive throughout the entire year, his entire time in Houston, really. What else is he going to say, right? I mean, he's trying to, you know, keep this ship moving in the right direction, trying to see if hopefully at some point, you know, a moment like what we saw on Saturday night where Matias Vera, you know, just takes the onus and goes and makes something out of nothing. And I think that's kind of what he's trying to bring out of his players. It's almost like a father, right? Trying to inspire the best. And you know, all he can do is try to keep asking and hope these players react.
Symbolically, looking at that Texas Derby from where it was to where it's gone now, with the lack of attention, two teams that are below the playoff line, it's hard. I think it's tough to stomach for many of us, and we want this thing to turn around so badly. You want Tab Ramos to be a success. You want the club to be more relevant. These are all things that we want, and it just seems to be treading water. And, you know, we do have to give Ted Siegel now. We have to give him time because the history is he's not accountable for what's happened in the past. Neither has Tab Ramos. Tab has to be judged on the last 2 years. Results-wise, it's not happening. And, you know, add to that if you would like.
Yeah, well, I mean, I had an interview with him for the Strike of Texas. Whenever he just got in, I asked him, you know, how much of a leeway is he going to give to the general manager, Matt Jordan, the front office? And he said, Ted Siegel, that is, he doesn't believe that maybe they had the right resources available to them. He wanted to give everybody a fair shake, and I think That's why it's such a big question mark if he's going to continue with a lot of these members of the staff going into next year. Is he going to give them one more year, or has he decided based on these couple of months that he's seen enough to kind of make a decision? Obviously, you know, the two big ones are the contracts of Matt Jordan and Tab Ramos are both coming up for renewal at the end of the year. And that's going to be a big decision. And I think a lot of it will have to be decided on if they make the playoffs or not, which hate to say it, but they're still in the race, right?
Well, you're always in the race, but you're going to have to go on a remarkable run here. And something dramatically really has to change when it comes to results. And, you know, it's easy to sit here and be the armchair quarterback and talk from the outside about what we've seen occur and a moment here or a moment there. But if things are habitual, you know, it has to be shared. It's always shared between a staff and players. I'm going to say that Tab Ramos has done everything he possibly can to unlock the potential of goal scoring on this team. He's changed people out positionally. I don't think he has had a Carrasquilla-type player in midfield from the start of the season. That made it difficult. I think he's moved people around. He's given tons of people real opportunity, except the designated player, Darwin Quintero, who everybody goes right to that. But I honestly don't think he was a good signing from the word go. He was not a future signing for the Houston Dynamo. Do you agree with that?
I agree somewhat because I still think what we haven't seen during his time with Houston with Darwin Quintero is we haven't seen him play in that sort of number 10 role, right? Like right in the middle where, you know, maybe he doesn't have to run as much. You give him the ball, you let him push it forward, you let him distribute. He's been played out on the wing and I mean, the dude's not a spring chicken.
But wait,
right?
Victor, let me just stop you there because if you've listened to my partner on broadcasts last year, Darwin Quintero was at his best playing as a left-sided winger cutting in on his right. That's where he prefers to play. And his better games were there. His better games were not as a 10. But I know what you're saying. You want to give him some sort of a free role.
Yeah, well, I guess wherever you want to play him, the point is he hasn't been on the field enough minutes, I think. I mean, he hasn't even hit 200, and we're 21 games into the season now. And he's given everybody else. Tab Ramos has enough. Obviously, we don't know what's going on behind closed doors, but everybody else has pretty much gotten, looks like more opportunity, less deserving guys based on their career, I would say. And I think that's something you sort of have to take into account. And you also have to take into account that last year, the man had, you know, the most goals and assists for this team. But that's the only, and the only reason I mention that is because when you look at the bench, the only guy that you can think of that brings any danger off the bench is Darwin Quintero. I mean, who else do you have? I know Ari Lasseter got...
Well, I don't know. I've seen him in practice. He doesn't seem very fit. He had a very... I was down in preseason, and Darwin did not... I will be very, very dead on honest here, and I'm a big fan of his, and I enjoyed watching him in Liga MX. I don't know why he was, you know, let go in Minnesota. There had to be something there. I'm a fan of Darwin Quintero. He's a remarkable soccer player, but I'm going to tell you, in preseason, he did not look extremely motivated to me, and I'm just being genuine here in what I saw. Now, sometimes veterans don't have to be as motivated as others, but you know, for a coach, Tab Ramos, his first time coaching pros, these are differing things that occur having to deal with players of that caliber as opposed to an under 20 national team player who will jump off a bridge if you tell him to. Okay, so I think there's a lot of dynamics in play here. I'm not trying to pile on any singular person, but I don't think it's as simple as it's being portrayed by a lot of people, and that is, oh, you simply put Darwin Quintero in and it's going to work. Because the bit that he has played, it hasn't been great. And you know, the truth lies probably somewhere in the middle. But for me, I didn't see him as... I didn't like this signing simply because of age and because the dynamic nature of the league now in younger players. If you're going to go for a designated player, you have to think, especially in the Dynamo's case, you have to think out. You have to think longer term. And Darwin Quintero was never going to be here longer term.
Right. Well, and if you know that, I think as a club, you have to already start thinking towards the future, right? I mean, after the season he had in 2020, I mean, why not move him on when his value is going to be at his highest?
Well, I don't know the dynamics. Yeah, I don't know the dynamics of the deals. I don't know who's out there. I don't know who covets him right now. I don't know because he's at the end of his career. And I don't like to even say that about anybody, but we have to be realistic now. We can't be putting lipstick on a pig all the time. We have to start talking fairly about this team. Honestly, nobody's throwing anybody under the bus, but you know, there is a lot of misguided thought out there. I think, look, if you're the coach in this game, and I'm talking to Victor Ariza of the Striker, and you look to your bench and you got Memo Rodriguez, you got Ari Lassiter, you got Darwin. There's not a lot of goals amongst these guys. Now, granted, Darwin hasn't played as much. But so what do you do? Do you decide to continue with a tired Arruti and fatigued Arruti? And is he a better bet than anything that's coming off your bench? And these are the decisions that coaches have to make now at this time of the year. And they're not easy.
Well, that's what Tab Ramos has chosen to do. I mean, he'd rather go with his trusted players. I mean, that's why we've seen, you know, even in defense, right? Like Sarek Valentin may play more games than he can, you know, Tim Parker, TH and Davey playing several games, basically every game together, for the same reason that there's very little depth for any position on this team. That's why that's why the hesitation of substitution.
Well, there's close to 30 on the roster. I mean, there's close to 30 on the roster. Now, if it's hard to make choices, the coach has to go with his gut, right? I mean, no question. I think there's also been a lot of people this year that if they were in a different market, they'd be under a lot more pressure for not producing, that have had a ton of opportunities on this team. Tons of opportunity to make a position their own.
Absolutely. And that's the other thing. I mean, you can't, for all the people asking for Tab Ramos' job or him not to return, I think it's difficult to judge him because he's not on the field, and he's, like you said, he's given players opportunity. Players just don't seem that motivated. I mean, maybe that's the coach's problem for not pushing the right buttons, but I mean, I was there at practice today, and I mean, the lack of intensity is just shocking to me that, you know, you wouldn't even recognize that this is a team on a 14-game winless streak. I mean, it's almost like, you know, same day-to-day as any other time of the year. Like you said, guys that maybe are on the outside looking in, your Memo Rodriguez, your, you know, even Quintero or what have you, anybody. I mean, it's just, it's almost going through the motions, and that to me, I think it's the worst part of this, and that's why I go back to it. It's almost like, what else is Ramos supposed to do to motivate?
Let me stop you for a second. So, and we're talking to Victor Ariza of the Striker. So if you wrote 20 articles and you didn't get one like on them, okay, or 15 articles, and you didn't feel like you were getting that feedback, right? You're in the business where feedback's important to you. You want people liking your work. You want people saying great coverage. This is why we work. It's the same with me. You know, we want to work for the fans. We want to do good work. We want to have healthy discussion. We want to move the sport forward. We want to star build the players. We want to praise when praise is worthy, and we want to be fair in times where you have to criticize. So if you didn't get a like for 15 to 20 articles you wrote, that would weigh on your mind, wouldn't it?
Well, I mean, you start wondering what do people react to, right? And what
you, well, you
to
might do, question yourself too, though, won't you? Wouldn't you?
Yeah, and I think you've seen that on the face of the coach. He obviously looks tired, but I mean, that's why I think, and this is when I've reacted to some of the games. That's why that part of it is important. The belief in what he wants to instill in this team, like, you know, moving away from 4-3-3. Those kinds of things, those are the ones I don't agree with, because now you're starting to lose your identity for just the sake of making changes.
But he didn't move away from it. One game he moved away from it, and he told us the reason Tab moved away one game was because of people that were not available. Now, I would even say this to add to what we were talking about when it comes to people not taking opportunity. If Tyler Pascher and Corey Baird were available, I think you mentioned that Pascher was training today, Victor.
Right.
Right. Wasn't he back in full contact training today?
Yep, back with the first team.
I'm not sure, but I think you put a picture out that showed him in training. Anyway, if those two guys were healthy, they're likely starters, right? So then you think about where the pecking order of the team goes, and then you say, wow, most everybody's had an opportunity. Certainly, you know, if we're talking about attacking players, they've had opportunity.
Right.
And people haven't grabbed.
I mean, that goes to the preparation and building of the team at the beginning of the year and not addressing depth when you need to. And it's been year after year after year of the same problem, which is why you see fans, you know, expressing themselves at the stadium, on social media.
These are all things that count, but it goes to the player, okay? Griffin Dorsey is trying to run with an opportunity in his career. And by the way, he's going to be on the show later along with Fafa Pico, and we're going to ask real questions. But Griffin Dorsey, through sheer effort, is getting himself on the field right now because he wants it, and you can see he wants it. And he's one of four players right now that I think that are kind of leading the way. What would you say, Victor?
I would agree, but I also think he's not the most talented guy on the team, and maybe that speaks more again to the professionalism of the other players or lack of professionalism of the other players to get beaten out by a guy like Griffin Dorsey. I mean, the players have to be accountable as well, and I think, you know, like you said, what else can Tab do? I mean, I guess keep trying to see what motivates and try to adapt to this new generation, right? I mean, that's one of the things he's brought up. It's just a different generation from when he used to play. We'll see if he can find the formula otherwise. But that's part of coaching as well. That's why, it's a lot of different factors. So, you know, we'll see if he figures it out.
Yeah, and by the way, it's not simply this season in this moment. It's a lot of years of things that have made it difficult to get out of this spot. All right, Victor, good stuff. Thank you very much for coming on. Again, Victor writes for The Striker. Thanks for coming on, Victor. We let that stand as the last comment here in this break. So Victor Ariza joining us there. Got to talk real about this team. And I hope our future is going to be brighter. I think it will be. Got a new owner. Let's see where it goes. New owner deserves time to oversee the business, do a deep dive on it, decide what he wants to do. He got a little bit of a blow here when Jamie Roots decided to leave straight from the start, so you got to give it time. And time is not something that's easy in the context of what the fans have gone through. I do understand that. Trust me. I do understand that. Okay, Nichelle Prince. She's a gold medal winner, Canada. She's coming up next. Stones are going to take you to break here. Again, a word here for Advantage BMW Midtown. Get down to Advantage BMW Midtown. They'll take you through sales service, get you in that brand new car, whether it's a sedan or an X5, an SUV-type vehicle. We've done a lot of great shows down there. Advantage BMW Midtown. Go down there, talk to Justin, talk to Steven. Great friends of mine, great friends of the sport of soccer. In fact, Steven Prather and his son were at the last game, and I believe they may be at the game this weekend. Advantage BMW Midtown, Nichelle Prince, Houston Dash, Canada gold medal winner. Next.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Here's Matias Vera. He's got a shooting opportunity. Here it's 2-2. It's Matias Vera. It's the man from Merlo, Argentina.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Advantage BMW Midtown. We talked about the drive of a BMW. It's like no other. 5 Series. I've had that. Loved it. Ultimate driving machine. The other thing I love is the customer service down there. So if you go down there, you ask for Justin. You ask for Steven. It's second to none. If you're the kind of guy or gal that, you know, isn't going to get under the hood of a car, well, then this may be the place for you because their customer service is off the charts. Advantage BMW has you covered. Sales, service, finance. You can do it very easily. Get in a 3, 5, a 7 series. Advantage BMW Midtown. Go down there, Justin and Steven. All right, our next guest. Now, that song I was playing featured Charlie Watts on the drums, Rolling Stones. It's called Everything is Turning to Gold. And I wanted to say that so Nichelle Prince will understand what that music was before coming back on here. Nichelle, thank you very much for coming on the show tonight.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you for coming on. I have covered your games back when you were at Ohio State, and I'm, we're all so excited for what you've done with Canada. Is it still sinking in?
Oh my gosh, it definitely is. I think just like coming back to the Dash, and you know, everyone kind of being excited and welcoming me back. It's definitely made it feel even more surreal that happened.
Yeah, you had been there before. You had won a bronze with Canada. What did it mean to get, you know, the victory over the United States and then go on to take the gold medal? I mean, just take us into a little bit of that and what it means for the Canadian program.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie. Beating the U.S. felt really, really good. it was obviously 20 years since we had beat them. So being able to beat them in the semifinals in the Olympics, it was the perfect time. And like you said, I got a bronze in the 2016 Olympics. But I think this team just knew that we could do so much more. The team had back-to-back bronze medals, but we knew that there was more that we could accomplish when we went into this tournament really believing that we can get gold. So I think also for all those girls who've been on the team for many years, this is just like, you know, something that we really need to do for the country and for this team. And we're trying to grow soccer in Canada, women's soccer, and we want to fight for a league. And this was the first step to doing that. I think people are now looking and seeing how talented this group of girls are and how talented women's soccer players are in Canada. So hopefully people are seeing that and we'll get stuff moving in the right direction.
She's Nichelle Prince. You can catch her act with the Houston Dash down at BBVA Stadium. This weekend they play Racing Louisville. Look, gold medal winner right in our town here. And not only that, wonderful young woman, incredible college career at Ohio State, and an opportunity to see her live and in action with, you know, four other medal winners down there, including her two teammates, Sophie Schmidt, who we had on here, and also Elisa Chapman. And then, of course, bronze medal winners also down at BBVA with Jane Campbell and Christy Mewis. So pretty remarkable. So I talked to Julia Grosso, Nichelle. I talked to Sophie. Wonderful, wonderful interviews. If you take me a little bit deeper into now, when the iron is hot here, and what this can mean to Canada, what does this mean for the women's game? Because I know a lot of the top talent has come out of Vancouver Whitecaps and certain areas of Canada. How does this get expanded potentially now?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at the top 10 teams in the women's game, top 10 countries, all of them have a professional league, and we're one of the only ones that don't. And so I think that says a lot about the talent that we have in our country right now. And I think that us being able to get a gold medal at the Olympics without having that backup support with the league, I think it says so much. I think that imagine our pool being so much bigger because girls, instead of, you know, after college and saying, okay, well, there's not that many opportunities for me to play, they actually have a league at home in their own backyard that they can play in. Imagine that there's so many more girls willing to still play professional. I think that puts our pool at an even higher talent, even higher talent. And, I think that people need to start looking at it and seeing that women's sports are, you know, it's growing right now. And I think that this is the time to invest and to really just, you know, believe in us and put in the support, because the time is now. And I think we've proven that we can do a lot.
Also the time now to see Nichelle and her Houston Dash teammates who are fighting for a playoff spot. Sunday night, 6:30. It's called 713 Night. $7 tickets, $1 hot dogs, $3 beers. Can't beat that. And then you can welcome back all the medalists. This is the first night I think everybody's going to be there. Michelle, how do you get refocused now to get the job done for the Houston Dash? I can't think it can be easy, but maybe it is. But you got to now get yourself rebooted here and get into the NWSL mode and get this team over the hump and finally get into the playoffs. The club has never gotten there.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's time to now just like refocus on being back to the dash. And I am excited, just obviously just coming off the high of winning gold medal. But now I truly do still want so much more for myself individually and for my team with the dash. And so I'm coming back in focused. And as a dash player, I've been on this team for now, this is my sixth season, and we haven't been able to make the playoffs. And it's been, you know, we've been close at times. We've been, you know, way far at the bottom of the table at some years. But this year we're so close, and we have the team to be able to do it, to make the playoffs and to win the playoffs. I really believe that. And so I'm really focused for these next few months because we're so close. I think we just need to stay focused and get wins at home. That's going to be really important for us.
Talking to Nichelle Prince, gold medal winner with Canada, Houston Dash. Dash coming back after playing in the WICC, which was pretty remarkable, an opportunity to play Barcelona. I love the crossover of the international with the NWSL game, Nichelle. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, I think the ICC tournament is huge for women's soccer. Just being able to, you know, spread the game around the world and get people to see what women's professional sports are in America. I think that's so important that, you know, we're able to show our talent on the international level like that. And, yeah, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be able to play a team like Barcelona. And it was a hard match, but I think that we showed as a Dash team that we can compete against the world's best teams. So it was a really fun opportunity to get to go to Portland and play them.
Nichelle, what do you learn from some of the international teams? And I know they're learning things from the NWSL. That's part of the reason these tournaments are also very important for all involved. But what do you think the NWSL teams learn from the international teams?
Yeah, I think it's no surprise that they're very different styles of play. Barcelona plays with a very possession-based style of play, and I think that the NWSL and the Dash specifically, where our strength is transition, and we like to, you know, get the ball forward, use our speed, our athleticism. And so I think it was, like you said, it was a learning opportunity for us to see how they play and to see what works for them. I don't think we need to completely change how we play, but it's fun to get to, you know, see what really works for them. And I think that the styles of play in the future will probably, the gap and the difference of it will probably, I think, get a little bit closer together. I think that NWSL can be more of a possession style play, and they'll learn to be more athletic as well and use our strengths. But yeah, I think that there's two different styles of play, but you could see that both are very strong and that they're very effective. So it was really cool getting to play against that style.
Nichelle Prince joining us tonight. Houston Dash, Canadian gold medal winner in this Olympics that just concluded. By the way, she's played in the World Cup. I mean, you look at her career and the things she's done. She's won a bronze medal prior in Olympics. And this is all going on in Houston. And you have an opportunity to see these tremendous women soccer players in action. And you can do it really reasonable. It's probably the best sporting value in town. So it's a Houston Dash this Sunday, and they're taking on Racing Louisville. All right, to growing up in Canada, who were some of your, you know, kind of role models? And did you have a youth coach that really made the game exciting for you? How did it all happen? Where did the love affair with soccer begin?
Yeah, I mean, I've been playing since I was four. I've always been in love with the game. But I also grew up running track, and I ran track very competitively for a long time. But I remember it was when I was around about 13 when I went to go watch Canada play at the BMO Field in Toronto. And I remember I went with my sister, who was a huge soccer fan and knew all the players. And she kind of like pointed me to Christine Sinclair and Cara Lang and, you know, all those stars on the team back then. And she was like, those are the stars. And I remember just after the game, my parents letting me go and get their autographs and get pictures after the game. I remember taking pictures of Sinclair and Cara Lang and just being like, wow, I want to do this one day. Like, I want to play in the national team. And, yeah, I think that ever since that was my goal to, you know, go as far as I can with soccer and to play on the international level.
Nichelle, you've scored goals against international teams like England, New Zealand, Brazil, Mexico, Trinidad and Tobago. What was your most memorable goal internationally?
I would say definitely at the World Cup against New Zealand. You know, it wasn't like a beautiful goal or anything, but it was my first time at a World Cup and my first goal at a World Cup. And I just remember feeling like, wow, like I've been waiting for this feeling for so long. And, you know, it was a long journey to even, you know, play at the national level, at the international level. And I was on the team for a long time, but, you know, I was learning a lot and not always getting a lot of minutes. So being at the world stage and scoring a goal, it's definitely a goal I'm always going to remember.
And that was in France, and that was June 15th, 2019. Canada would win that game 2-0. Okay, now that we know what was your most memorable goal, which was your most beautiful goal?
Beautiful. I would say on the international level or...
Yeah, international level.
International level, against Mexico. It was at home, and it was far left corner. And I just remember, like, my family was there, and it was just an exciting, you know, it was, again, it was, my parents have gone to a lot of games and not always seeing me play or not always getting a lot of minutes. I remember scoring in that game and just feeling, like, super proud and happy my family was there to see it.
Nichelle, we thank you very much for coming on tonight. Best of luck against Racing Louisville on Sunday. We're looking forward to seeing you and
the Dash.
And James Clarkson and company getting into the playoffs. Thanks so much for coming on the program tonight.
Thank you so much for having me.
And stash that gold medal somewhere good, okay?
I will for sure.
Thank you, Nichelle. So that's Nichelle Prince, a tremendous athlete. I remember calling her games when she was at Ohio State playing for the Buckeyes under Lori Walker back then. A couple of things here to get you updated. Rice beat SFA 2-0. Friday they will take on HBU. So this is women's soccer. U of H beat Oklahoma and McNeese, their last game against McNeese, a 2-0 win. Sunday they will play against HBU. Texas A&M is 0-2, losing to FSU, the defending national champions, 1-0, and TCU, both these teams highly ranked, 2-1. Saturday, they're home against Clemson. And then Texas lost to University of Central Florida. Great recruiting class. I watched this game, UCF, 4-0. They got hit in transition. They had the ball the entire game. They just got hit in transition. Then they followed it up with a 1-1 draw against Florida. All right, more Charlie Watts, more Rolling Stones, more drumming. Show is always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. 713-322-HERT is the number to call. 713-322-HERT. They're bilingual. Show streams on ESPN975.com. As always, you'll get the podcast of this show at HornFM.com. I would love for you to give me a follow, whether it's on Twitter, Instagram. If you like the show, show me in a way. These things help keep the program on the air, keep the interest up. I hope you enjoy the soccer talk that we try to bring in the interviews, and we got a lot more to go on this show. We're only halfway there right now. Coming up in the second hour, we will talk to Fafa Pico of the Houston Dynamo. We will talk to Griffin Dorsey of the Houston Dynamo, and we will talk to Warren Barton, the former Newcastle defender, on some of the international things going on. All right, we'll take a break. Rolling Stones, Charlie Watts, rest in peace.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real.
Fun. Sports. League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQ Bar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix, With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin-star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu Mango IQ Mix Hydration Mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.